us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you, we praise you for your word and for the way in which your word speaks to generation after generation after generation. Open our hearts and minds now, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might hear anew what you have to say to us this morning. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is John 20, verses 1 through 18. I'll refer to 2 Corinthians within my sermon, so I'm not going to read that part right now. But let us stand in honor of God's word as we look to John's gospel. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Ben Patterson, in his book, Deepening Your Conversations with God, asks us to imagine the mystery and delight of hearing the resurrection story for the very first time. He tells about a time when a primitive tribe in the jungles of East Asia were exposed to the resurrection for the very first time. Missionaries went there with a Jesus film put out by Campus Crusade for Christ. The Jesus film tells the life of Jesus in the languages of the people, and it's been translated in almost every language of the world. This primitive tribe had never heard of the name Jesus and had never seen a movie projector. On one unforgettable evening, they saw it all. They saw the story of the life of Christ in their own language, visible and real. Imagine again how it would be for the very first time. This good man Jesus, who healed the sick, and who was adored by children, held without trial, beaten by the soldiers. And as they watched this, the people became unglued. They stood up and began to shout out at the cruel men on the screen, demanding this outrage should stop. And when nothing happened, they attacked the missionary who was running the projector. Maybe he was responsible for this injustice. And he was forced to stop the film and tell them the story was not over yet. There was more. So they settled back on the ground. And holding their emotions in continuous check, the film started once again. They came to the crucifixion, and they began to weep and to wail with such loud grief that the film had to be stopped again. And again, the missionary tried to calm them down and said, "There's more." And once again, they settled down and sat back down on the ground and began to watch. And the next section of the film was the resurrection. And when Jesus came out of the tomb on that very first Easter Sunday, those tribal people from Asia broke out in pandemonium. And the gathering spontaneously broke out in slaps on the back. And the missionary again had to shut off the projector, but this time he did not need to calm them down. What they had seen was the greatest excitement and joy of all humankind. Today, we celebrate with joy and excitement the greatest event in all the world, that awesome resurrection morning when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I love the account in John's gospel. Early in the morning, Mary goes to the tomb and sees that the stone is rolled away. She runs to Peter and John. She tells them that they've taken the Lord out of the tomb. She doesn't know where they put him. Imagine, if you will, your family member dies, and the next day you go to the cemetery and you see that fresh grave. And it's been opened up, the casket lid's open, and your loved one's body's not in there. I mean, get the picture. This is the anxiety that she felt when she went there and did not see Jesus. Peter and John go running to see. John looks in, and Peter pushes ahead and goes inside. Everything is neat. There's no sign of a robber. You know, any of you have ever been robbed in your home know that robbers don't put things neatly back in your dresser drawers, do they? No, everything's a mess. But they go in there, and there's no evidence of a robber because everything's neat, as though Jesus basically evaporated out of those linens. And the linen for under his head is rolled neatly. Peter and John go back home, but Mary Magdalene lingers, and she's crying and has to take another look inside that tomb. And when she goes in there, she sees the two angels, one at the head of Jesus where he would have been, and one at where his feet would have been. And they ask her why she's crying. And she attempts to explain to them that they've taken the Lord away and she doesn't know where they have laid him. She turns and Jesus is there. She doesn't recognize him. We don't know if it was because of the tears running down her face. We don't know if the Lord just kept himself in a way that she could not see him. But she does not recognize him. And he, too, asks her why she is crying and who she's looking for. And she thinks he's a gardener. And she tells him, you know, he's not here. You know, do you know where he is? Do you know where they put Jesus? And it's at that moment, it's as though the world stood still. because at that moment, Jesus calls her by name, Mary. And she knows the voice. She knows the voice. And we just can't imagine the thrill that probably ran through her body. For when Jesus calls you and me by name, and we respond, it's as though time stands still for each of us as well. Mary responds to Jesus, and Jesus asks her to listen. Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary then goes and shares the news. She preaches the very first Easter sermon by a woman. Praise Jesus. I love that. Because she was the one. It wasn't the disciples that preached that first Easter sermon. It was Mary Magdalene who went back and told them. But those words, I have not yet returned to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. It was as if Jesus was saying, we're now partners in this together because I am now in you, Mary. Jesus told his disciples earlier in John's gospel that before long they will not see him anymore. Because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I'm in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. What does that mean to be in Christ? We respond like Mary. When Jesus calls our name and we say, yes, Lord, you are my Lord and Savior. That's what it means to be in Christ. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we are new creations. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. Throughout Lent, we have been getting spiritually fit through workouts of prayer, worship, study, generosity, fasting, getting our hearts targeted in the right direction, eating right, and learning from Jesus how to deal with injuries. And all those spiritual practices are wonderful, and they're great as we become more committed disciples when we practice them. However, those disciplines are absolutely meaningless if it were not for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For the resurrection opens the way for you and me to live in a relationship with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, both now and forevermore. Imagine the living Christ calling you by name, like he called Mary on that first Easter morn, because that's exactly what he does. He calls you by name. And when we say yes, the resurrected Christ breathes life into our spiritually dead lives, giving us a vital, strong, spiritual life. We become new people in a relationship with the Lord. Praise God. And how does Jesus do it? How does he help us to become these new people? Jesus makes us to be more and more like him, new creations, when he transforms the old and he makes it new. All it takes is us to give ourselves, to give our all to Jesus, our hearts, the pain, the suffering, the guilt, the shame, every aspect of our very lives, our intellect, our emotions, our bodies, the relationships with our family, with our friends, and even our enemies. When we give it all to Jesus, we allow him to reconstruct our lives He transforms the old into new. And as Jesus makes us to be more and more like him as new creations, he gives us incredible power. In Ephesians, we read of the incomparably great power for us who believe. It is a wonderful passage of scripture because Ephesians 1, 19 and 20 tells us that power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. That power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is given to you and to me. That same power that rose the Lord from the dead is given to you and me. And it's that resurrection power, that kind of power that we can have in our daily lives. For our Lord Jesus gives to every believer his Holy Spirit to live and dwell within us. He helps us. He empowers us to face all the challenges that come before us in this life. Every day, the challenges, the problems, and to live and to draw closer to him through the spiritual disciplines. And he also empowers us to go out and to share Jesus with the world. Just as those very first disciples were given that power is still for us today. Mark Yarborough shared a story at a seminar of his that I attended last summer. He said about 10 years ago, I was speaking at a family conference center in Colorado, and he loved taking his family to that beautiful state, God's country, in the winter because it's the only time the Texans get to see snow. A side benefit, he said, is I was having an incredible winter sports training time with my family. At the time, our kids were 3, 5, 7, and 9. The camp had just designed and installed and opened a new tubing hill. He said, now this was not your normal bunny slope snoozer of a tubing hill. It was slick. It had steep embankments and alternate routes that purposely sent you airborne. This trek was amazing and orchestrated with precision angles and regulatory levees. It was awesome. He said, a little known fact about me is that I'm an adrenaline junkie. And I was having a grand old time with my kids on that tubing hill. And it was just about time for the last run of the day. The hill shut down at 4 p.m. because once the sun drops, the hill ices up. I have learned that if you get on the lift at 3:59 sharp, you can catch the slope when it's icing. And when you hit it, when that ice is forming, look out, you can actually get another 10 miles per hour on your run. So I grabbed my youngest son, Joseph, age 3, and I headed to the lift. He said, I did not consult his mother, my wife. I was intent on taking my youngest on the ride of his life. So I grabbed little Joe, put him on my lap, and off we went up that lift that pulls you to the top of the hill. There were not attendants there, as usual, but I really didn't think much about it because there was one other brave soul going up that last run that day, a 12-year-old girl named Rhonda. She was a couple of rungs ahead of us heading up the hill. On the way up the mountain, I kept telling Joseph, this is going to be great. It's the last run of the day. It's going to be super fast. We were both excited until we arrived at the top. As we neared the departure point, something happened to Rhonda. Somehow her leg got twisted around and hit the pulley as she was getting off. Something popped, and she belted out the loudest, most blood-curdling cry I've ever heard. I knew we were in big trouble. I looked for help, but saw no one. It was only me, my three-year-old, and a girl who needed immediate medical attention. After propping little Joseph in the snow, I ran to her and made the tragic mistake of taking her ski boot off. When I unclasped the boot brackets, her ankle tripled in size in about 15 seconds. All the blood from her head went to the break, and we later found out that she suffered 13 different breaks due to a spiral fracture. She fainted. Joseph was now standing there by us. He had never seen such trauma in his life. Rhonda was in and out of consciousness and screaming at the top of her lungs each time she woke. Joseph's eyes would bulge out of his head and his jaw would hit the ground trying to make sense of the chaos. I didn't have a choice. There was no help and it was getting dark and we needed to get off this mountain. Like a platoon sergeant in combat mode, I grabbed a tube and hollered out to Joseph, "Follow me." As he waddled along after me, headed to the edge of the drop zone, I said, "Joseph, you have to go down by yourself." When we arrived at the edge, I repeated it again, "Joseph, you have to go down by yourself. I will be right behind you." He looked up at me and adamantly said, "No, Daddy. No, Daddy. No, Daddy, no." I told him, "Joseph, you can do this. Stay right here and I'll be right back." Rhonda was screaming again. At that moment, I did what any good father would do. I picked up my little boy, folded him in half, and stuffed him into the middle of the inner tube. All you could see were his two little feet and the top of his head sticking out of the top of the tube. Rhonda was again screaming. So I left Joseph on the edge of the cliff and ran to check on her. Coming back to Joseph, I could hear him talking to himself. "I can do it. I can do it. I can do it." I spun him around and said, "Joseph, I'm going to push you." He looked up at me and said, "No, Daddy. No, Daddy. No, Daddy. No." I said, "Joseph, you can do it." Then he said the words I will never forget, ever. He looked up at me and he said, "I trust you, Daddy." I turned the little guy around on the edge of the hill and pushed him over the cliff. I couldn't see him for about 10 seconds, but I could hear him. "Ah!" I grabbed the little girl and put her in my lap, and we went down the hill together. When we reached the bottom, I was waving people over for assistance and informing them to call the paramedics. As I was handing her off to helping hands, I caught a glimpse of a precious sight out of the corner of my eye. It will be permanently etched in my mind and sealed on my heart. There he was, three-year-old Joseph, standing in the middle of the runway, all by himself, arms held high in touchdown formation. It was a great celebration for him. And after seeing me, he came full speed and slammed in my legs, screaming at the top of his voice, "We did it, Daddy! We did it!" Friends, Jesus can make us into new creations. The ride might be bumpy at times, and yet exhilarating. Hold on tight. The Lord didn't say life would be easy. We will face many challenges and problems as we go through life. Jesus loves you and me. And when we partner with Jesus Christ, daily turning over to him everything in our life, as the Lord and Savior, the new creation he makes of you and me is unbelievable. We can have the victory Because life with Jesus is a lifetime of sins forgiven. It's a lifetime of having his resurrection power dwelling richly within us through his Holy Spirit. It's a lifetime of being enabled to do things far beyond anything of our wildest dreams and expectations. It's a lifetime of living with Jesus, both here in the presence and one day when we breathe our last breath. It is all possible because he is risen. He has risen indeed. Just trust him. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you. We praise you that you truly do make us new creations. And it's all because of the resurrection of Jesus that it's even possible. Help us, Lord, to trust you. Like little Joseph, Lord, help us to know that we can do it together with you, Lord. Help us to trust you every single day. We thank you, we praise you that Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed, and he makes the difference in our lives to make us more and more like him into these new creations every single day. Help us, Lord, to put it all before you. And Father, I pray this day, if there is someone here in this room that has never, ever said yes to Jesus, I lay it all before you, Lord. I pray that you move in their hearts and their minds, and that this day will be the most significant day of their lives. And Father, I pray for those who already have said yes to Jesus, those of us here who may need to be renewed in our spirit and receive your power from on high, that we may be a changed people every day, seeking you, loving you, serving you, anxious for the day when we'll see you face to face. Father, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do in us and through us, through the risen Christ. And it is in his name, and it is for his glory that we ask and pray all things. Amen.